We continue here on WTLS, also Tallahassee Times TV, and the TuneIn app. Dr. Danny Wilbanks here with us this morning. And I called you yesterday, Danny. I appreciate you coming on short notice. I said, you know, it's been something I've always wanted to have you come down and chat with us. A former Tallahassee Tiger, former Alabama player, huge Alabama fan. Appreciate you coming down and joining us today.
I'm glad to be here, Michael. Appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah. You're wearing the right colors. You got your crimson on today.
Yeah. I always got my crimson.
Well, a few years back, you played at Tallahassee back in the 1950s. And it's an interesting story at this. The team that you played on was a team that was the first that we broadcast on the radio, because it was 1954. It was the first year that WTLS was on the airwaves. And that was an incredible team. I guess Border Conference champions, and you guys had a lot of stars on that team.
Yes, we did. And not only that, we received the Birmingham News State Championship trophy.
That's right.
That year.
That's something that when we talk about Tallahassee's history and what they've done, and they didn't really have championships per se back then, that is listed as a state championship.
Yes, it is. And we had some great players on that team. We were a big team for those days, too. Gosh, we had... Woodall and Higgins both signed with Auburn. J.V. Ashes went to Troy. Jerry Golden went to Clemson. Ed Christian, LaFette Peters, and I went to Alabama. We had some great players on that team.
Can you imagine today if we had seven guys or something signed at major colleges like that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I was just a once-in-a-generation type thing, I think. And as small a town as we are, we were just fortunate to have that many guys come together and playing. And we didn't have really that many guys. We had, I think we went to Lanier that year, the last game. They dressed about 95, 100. We dressed 23 guys.
Yeah.
But we had 18 that could play.
Yeah. No doubt about it. That is something how good Tallahassee was in football in those early days, regardless of who you played and how big the competition might have been. And you were an All-State select. You know, played in the AHSAA game that was
high
University
of Alabama game,
and you know, it was a commitment to Alabama. Tell about that. What was that like?
Well, it was in the summer before I started Alabama. In the fall, it was the Alabama High School Athletic Association's All-Star football game, which they don't have anymore. Now they have Alabama, Mississippi, I think. But in those days, we had North Alabama and South Alabama. Of course, I played for South Alabama, and we met at the University of Alabama campus, and I never forget one thing. Alabama had signed a bunch of guys that year. Benny Dempsey from Brantley, Alabama, was a big fullback. And, of course, I was playing fullback. But Herb Chapman was our head coach that year for the South from Holtonville. And when we played Holtonville that year, they had a great running back, James Shaw, who was a scat back state sprint champion and so forth. They were untied, unscored on, and undefeated when they played us in Tallahassee next to the last game. We beat them 34-0. And so anyway, when we got up there, Dempsey told me later that I'd already made up my mind I was going to start in that All-Star game. And said, we're in there. And I was a little bit late getting there. And we're sitting in the meeting. Says Coach Chapman's walking around up there and says, anybody know where Wilbanks is? And he said, I knew right then that my days were over. But I was lucky that Coach Chapman was the coach, and we had played them during the year.
Well, you did go to Alabama. Talk about what it was like back then. This was the days before Coach Bryant was there.
It was, you know, my freshman year, freshmen were not allowed to play in those days, and we had a freshman schedule. We played three games, I believe it was. We played Auburn, Georgia, and maybe Mississippi State. But at any rate, my freshman year, the varsity went 0-10. And then, but the, you know who the quarterbacks were? Albert Elmore and Bart Starr. And of course, Bart went on to be a great player in the NFL, and Albert owns the State Farm insurance agency here in Tallahassee now. So I see him every Tuesday at Lions Club, and we reminisce about a few of the old days.
Yeah, and here's Whitworth comes in. It was kind of a tough time for Alabama, one of the worst in history as far as wins go.
You know,
go,
he had a great record out at Oklahoma. At that time was Oklahoma A&M, which is Oklahoma State now, out in Stillwater. And he was a great guy, but he came in sort of restricted. He was only allowed to bring three coaches in with him. and it had a bunch of holdovers from Coach Drew's staff. And Coach Hank was the athletic director off the field and defensive line coach on the field. A lot of times we'd go out and work on defenses all week, go out in sweats on Friday afternoon, and he changed defenses. I mean, it was sort of a mess. But we had some good guys on the team, some good players, but we just it never seemed to go that well for us. And, of course, then 3 years, Coach Whitworth was fired, and Coach Bryant came in spring and winter of 58.
You led the team in rushing that last year at Whitworth, didn't you?
Yeah, and scoring, and that wasn't much. at any rate, I did get my name in the book a little bit, but my kids used to say I played at Alabama back before dirt was made, and that's about right. This is the 60th year. That Coach Bryant's first year at Alabama, that spring when he came in, I'll never forget the first meeting we had with him. It was in the basement of the old athletic dorm, Friedman Hall. And, man, he came in. He had on this great-looking suit and alligator shoes and alligator belt. And he looked like he was about 8 feet tall. And we were all scared to death of him, you know. But he told us that we're going to practice first class, we're going to play first class, and we're going to win with class. And he meant every word that he said. And he did so many great things for us there. And the old dorm was not air-conditioned. It was so loud. It was made in Wells, and it was so loud in there. And the first thing he did is he came in, he air-conditioned the dorm. He put doors before each of the Wells, cut the noise down, gave us new beds. Hey, kind of big bed. How about that? In our rooms for these big old guys to sleep on, you know. And the food was just turned around completely. It was really much, much, much better. So, but he had the freedom to do it because he came there with that understanding that he was going to get the resources to do what he needed to do. And it's much like Coach Saban
thinking
today.
Thinking the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the similarities of, you know, football's changed so much in 59, 60 years since I played. But the one thing that hasn't changed in the similarity I see because seeing Coach Bryant and Coach Saban is the physicality of the game and physicality in practice. Coach Bryant's practices were, man, they were physical. And we'd stop. I remember that spring training, first year he was there. You know, if you thought the guy in front of you was, you were better than him, you challenged him. And we stopped practice right there, and you'd go at it one-on-one. If you beat him, you got the job. And it was just that way. But Coach Saban's practices are very physical. And if you make it through those, the game's fun for you because you're used to all the hitting. Because you do that every day in practice.
You've watched all these generations of football. Obviously it's changed greatly in a lot of ways. It was Denny Stadium back then. It wasn't Bryant Denny. It probably didn't seat
31,000.
There you go. I was wondering what the capacity
31,
was.
When I played at Alabama, my last year at Alabama, Denny Stadium seated 31,000. Was open at both ends. Had temporary bleachers at both ends. And it was, he'd been there a while. It's named for President Denny, who was president of the university back in the 20s, I think it was. But anyway, and of course now it's 102,000.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mal Moore.
Right.
And Mal Moore told me that Coach Saban came to him one day and said, look, I want this other end closed in with suites and everything in it before next football season. And that was at the end of this football season. And it was done.
Yeah.
Mal got it done.
Yeah.
And he also told me that the company that won the bid left about $15 million on the table. So he built it at a time when the economy was really down. Yeah. Folks needed the jobs and so forth. So he got a great price on it and saved the university a lot of money.
Wow.
But Mal was a great athletic director.
Oh, no doubt. He brought Nick Saban, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah. And when you look at Nick Saban and what he's done, and then knowing what Coach Bryant did, I mean, golly, it, people always want to make that comparison, but both unbelievable at what they were able to do.
They really are. Coach Bryant was a great recruiter, too. And but in Coach Bryant's day, you could sign 100 guys if you wanted to. And, of course, he signed a lot of guys to keep them from going somewhere else and playing against him. And now, like this year, we can only sign 23 guys. He does a great job recruiting, and we just ought to restock each year. And but not only does he do a great job recruiting, he does a great job developing the players. You know, you take, like, Hand. He was number one player in the country coming out of high school, and he's really just come into his own this year. And he'll be a high draft choice. He's a big guy and everything, but it took him a while to develop. Some guys come in their freshman year, they're ready to play. Others, it takes a while, and Coach Saban is great about developing those guys.
They're ready for the NFL when they come out.
Yes, they are. Yep. And they know that when they come there.
Yeah.
Will Banks, I got a question for you. When Bear Bryant come there, did y'all have any indication of the College Station when he took them out to camp? Did y'all know about it? Y'all did.
Yeah, we'd heard about it. And that's why nervous. Everybody was scared to death of him when they saw him. Like I say, he was bigger than life. But you know the funny thing. Coach Stallings was a GA. He and D. Powell were GAs on that staff. They came there with Coach Brown. They had played for him at A&M. And they were living in the dorm. Their wives were not with them at the time because they had just come in January. And we'd gather in the room down there at night and talk to D. Powell and Coach Stallings. Coach Stallings, I remember him saying one time, he said, "Look, guys," he said, "what made Junction so tough was the facilities and the conditions." He said, "as far as football, you guys have had a rougher spring training than what we had that fall as far as football. But our conditions were just so bad. They were intense and rocky ground and hot, 100 degrees and all that kind of stuff." So, yeah. But he said, as far as football, our spring training was really, really tough. So it was Coach Bryant. I can remember. I can remember we had a guy by the name of Charlie Reeves from Rolling Fork, Mississippi, big guy, running back. And, you know, after each play, you had to get up and run back to the huddle. Well, Charlie, we were scrimmaging one day, and Charlie get up and walked back to the huddle, and Coach Bryant kept telling him to run back to the huddle. Finally, he stopped, blew the whistle, and they had what we call gut drills, and he was running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, till finally he just keeled over, and Coach Bryant hollered, "Manager, bring me a yellow jersey." And he went over and put that yellow jersey on him, and, you know, he had a way of getting your attention, but Charlie Reeves went left and went to Houston, made second-team All-American at Houston. So, but you had to fit into his system, just like Coach Saban today. You fit into the system. They don't adjust to you. You adjust to them. And if you're willing to do that, then you'll do well.
You remained a fan of the program, obviously. You continue to hold season tickets and to 10 games every year. Has football changed a whole lot in the, you know, as far as state? Well, I know it has with the players, no doubt, and how the game has changed, but as far as the fandom of it, since the 50s when you had a 31,000 seat facility as opposed to 100 today plus. Yeah.
Of course, we had the hardcore Alabama fans then, just like you do today. And I can remember when Coach Bryant first came to Alabama, you know, we weren't selling that many tickets every year, particularly at three losing years. And he had a meeting with what they call the big mules out of Birmingham, and told him he wanted them to buy X number of season tickets in every year. And so one of them said, "Well, Coach Bryant, when you start winning, we can do that." And he said, "I won't need you when I start winning. I need you now." And so, and fans today, you know, it's college football's gotten to be money today. They make so much money today. When your athletic budget is $110-120 million, it's a lot of money involved. Just like tickets for the championship game, $660.
That's a regular face value ticket.
Face value ticket.
Yeah. Which nobody can find for that price these
exactly.
days.
Exactly. I saw on StubHub.
You're glad to get it if you can.
StubHub yesterday, I think the cheapest ticket I saw was $1,800 high in the end zone.
Now, you're still pulling the filling teeth today, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I work 3 days a week and enough to just, you know, I like to eat. I can't break that habit. Get a little jingle.
Yeah. Well, Danny, so much fun talking to you today. We appreciate you coming down.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Talk to you soon. Danny Wilbanks.